Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
It is that time of year. It's that time of year where we must meet and air all of our grievances.
I don't have a poll.
You don't have a poll? I mean, of all of us, I thought you would have a poll.
Yeah, for Festivus.
The Festivus poll?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
We're all just a hot mess tonight. So.
Well, I was thinking about it today because, so there will be an update coming out Monday about episodes and things like that. And I was thinking about it today as we were getting ready for this episode. 2025 has just not been my year. And it hasn't been a lot of our years.
No.
And, you know, we're giving ourselves an extra week of holiday winter break before we come back to the podcast. Just because, you know, we need to reset. I need to reset, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
First I said to Michael, I'm like, no podcast all of January. And he's like, ma'am.
Well, he stopped you before you got to us because we didn't hear that one.
He's like, I don't think so. I don't think you do that. People will be mad at you. Yes, people would be mad at me. Mm-hmm. But you all know me. My first instinct is the extreme. We're just not doing it. So, because I was feeling really guilty today. Again, there will be a post coming out over on Patreon. I forgot to finish the second part of the vote for your best favorite book of the year. I
didn't even notice. So.
December just, you know. I mean, things are great. Like, home is great. Work is busy. It's just everybody's busy. We're just busy.
It's just piled on at the end of the year.
Right? And I had some work stuff. The biggest thing was some work stuff that for 3 weeks work was complete and utter chaos. But now it's okay. I think I'll be all caught up by the 22nd. So just in time, you know, for new projects, right?
Yes.
So I forgot to do the favorite book of the year vote. We will resolve that on Sunday's episode. Sunday's episode is our best of 2025. I will talk about the books that were nominated and we'll give shout outs there. So you putting in your nomination will not go unheard. And as I was reading the list, many of them are books we've read. So I was excited to see that what we're reading is really reflecting on the community because I sent this to Amanda earlier today. Earlier today, Jenny, you're going to laugh so hard. We got our Spotify rap for being a creator.
Okay.
And I'll give everybody all these statistics. It's really exciting to see our community of listeners is really growing over on Spotify. Like we're doing phenomenal, which is why, again, Mike's like, you just got all those amazing numbers and you want to be like, we're done for a month. I was like, okay, fair. Yeah. But fans of our podcast, so people that subscribe and listen to Buzzing About Romance, their top audiobook for 2025, Jenny, any guesses as to what you think it was?
I feel like I should know this.
Oh, no.
No. It's not something that you would think. It's not something you think our listeners would.
And I have no idea. No.
Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry.
Oh.
That was the most listened to audiobook of our listeners on Spotify.
Yeah. I guess you all are listening to it so you can tell if you like it or not.
I mean, it was just, I was like, we never talk about Emily Henry. Like,
a lot of people really like her, but I haven't read her.
It was just funny.
Well, and to me, and I think we've mentioned this on the show, an Emily Henry book to me is like an Abby Jimenez. It's upmarket fiction romance. Yeah. It is more about the female main character's emotional journey than it is the relationship between the male main character and the female main character. So to me, it doesn't quite fit that
romance.
the romance umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, everybody's like in the YouTube comments, everybody's like, "What? Huh? I'm so confused."
Exactly. Exactly.
We are equally confused.
Or we know what you're listening to.
Well, now we know. Well, and their top music, which this tracks,
Yeah.
sort of. It's Taylor Swift was the favorite artist among our listeners, but that's our demographic, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, our top countries: United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Sweden, and Germany. So, Swedish citizens, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you very much.
I mean, for 59 of our listeners that like subscribe and follow the podcast, we were their number one podcast of the year. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
Spotify creators gave us the following trophies. We are a 2025 Rising Star, a 2025 Marathon Show, which means when people find
Oh.
us, they listen all the way through,
Yep.
which is a commitment.
It is. That's yeah.
And a 2025 talked about show, which means people have shared and recommended using the Spotify share link, have recommended our show that way. Our listening time is up 36% for 2025. We have 59 top fans. We are up 20% in our followers. Total audience is up 35%. Total new audience is 999%.
Because it does go to 1,000.
And per month, people listen to us at 2,900 listening hours, almost 3,000 listening hours a month. Our top episode, the episode that people have listened to the most, is episode 259, which is where I think it was our middle of the year episode where we talked about releases coming the second half of 2025.
Oh.
So, episode 259. So,
We can
that
look.
was our Spotify Wrap. Still not sure about you, Emily Henry listeners, and how you listen to us talk about Leah's cheating books and
Mm-hmm.
produce.
259, you said it was?
Yeah, episode 259 is our most listened to episode.
Yep, that was the releases to come in the second half of the year. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
so funny. But we're glad you're all here and we're glad you're
Yes.
listening. Because that was, I mean, that was some good stuff. I was like, oh. But my reaction to that was, cancel it all.
That was your reaction to that?
No, that was my
Okay, that
reaction.
was
Well, it
before,
came
right?
at the
No,
same
okay.
time. Like I had that, and then I had the, oh shit, I forgot to do the vote for your favorite
Oh.
book of the year thing. And I'm just like, what did I do? Anyway. So let's talk grievances. I have some other good stuff, but we'll wrap up the end of the episode with the other good stuff. One of the current things that's happening right now that's being discussed widely, and Amanda, have you cut down on your Threads time?
I've been in appointments and
Okay,
stuff.
because
Like the past week and a half, I've been very busy and not at home very much.
your
So,
push notifications are failing us.
yes, I know.
There's like
I
chaos
know.
happening over there, but nobody's telling us.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my
It's.
Threads is definitely, yeah, it's all
I'll see
heated
stuff and mean to
rivalry.
go back and look, and then I just it's the last couple of weeks have been a bear. So.
Well, in the last couple of weeks on Threads is like,
I'm
what's
sure.
bigger than a dumpster fire?
Yeah.
What's bigger? Like a trash, like the junkyard, the
Yeah,
dump
like
caught
yeah,
on
the trash
fire?
heap, the trash heap on fire.
And see, when I
Yeah.
think of the trash heap, I think of the fun Muppet from Fraggle Rock. You know, she was like the voice of wisdom. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, we get like down here,
What?
everything goes in these
Oh,
massive
Michael says
like
worse than a dumpster fire is a tire fire because it smells bad.
Oh, because it smells so
Oh,
bad.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're in Florida, we get these like our only mountains in Florida are trash heaps.
Oh,
So, yeah,
delightful.
yeah, we got one
large.
of those not too far away from us.
In Michigan, they turn outside of Detroit is Boy as Brighton, Michigan. They turned their trash heap into a ski mountain. It was
That
a
seems
trash heap.
dangerous.
Yeah, it definitely does. I'm
It
like,
was a
not
trash
everything
heap from like the
degrades at the same
1920s
rate.
till the
Ooh.
early till the end of the 70s. They did an EPA cleanup and turned it into a ski mountain.
Huh.
I skied and survived, and I don't have the cancer. Maybe a little, we're okay. I've done it. I did it drunk, but I did it.
I mean, I think drunk would be the only way to do it.
Yeah, I
It's
would chicken out.
anyway. One of the things that came up today, because there's a couple things that have been stewing this week, but this came today. So we knew that when the USA Today brought back their reader list, they were, or their top list, we knew that they weren't doing it the same way they used to do it.
Was it, they call it the bestseller list? Is that what
Yeah,
they
it's
call
the
it
USA
now?
Today bestseller list. It used to be the USA Today bestseller list previous to it shutting down, and I think it shut down in the end of 2022. When it
Yeah, I think
shut down
so.
previous to that, the way to get on the list is you had to have two sources of sa at least minimum two sources of sales. It was you could list for ebook or ebook and paperback combined or ebook and physical book combined. And you just had minimum sales had to be $5,000. And then they would start going from there. But you had to have two sales sources, which was why, like, it was harder for KU authors to make it. But when an anthology would go wide, that's how they could make the list and get their letters. So for those new listening, when you hear when I say get their letters, I'm referring to being either a USA Today bestselling author or a New York Times bestselling author. The bestselling author moniker in the industry, they call that their letters. So we knew coming back when they re, I think it re came back last fall, right? 2024.
Yeah, it says 2023 revamp, but I think it happened like near the end, and I think it started like back full force like 2024, but the
Yeah.
hiatus started in 2022. Like they took all of 2022 like
Okay.
off, it
So
looks like.
when it came back, we did not know what their new formula was, but we did know it was no longer about just sales, that this was now considered a curated list. Same as New York Times. They're looking for statistics from very specific either retailers or bookseller spaces. And just like New York Times. So it's not just about sales. So all of that being said, today, so there's been rumors circulating within the industry that they were actually using AI or some kind of computer input type thing that was, they were putting in all the information from retailers of things that would qualify, and it was supposed to spit out the list. Like there's been rumors for about 10 months because there was a book that had not really had been published like 7 years ago. And I'm not talking about Heated Rivalry, but a book that nobody had really talked about that was like one of the bottom numbers in the USA Today earlier this year. And it didn't make any sense. Like, how did that book end up on your list? And so people were like, this has got to be something that like a computer screwed up kind of thing, right? Because we know AI is not perfect. Well, today, wacky waving inflatable tube guy for your desktop. He charted at number 72 on the USA Today, and he was written by Riordan, Connor, Coral, and Gemma. Those are the authors of the very first of its kind miniature waving, wacky waving inflatable tube guy, perfect for your desktop. He ranked number 72 on the USA Today list. Well, so Jen Ellen asks a
A lot of
question.
pages.
What? What'd you say,
Does
Jenny?
he have a lot of pages?
He has a lot of pages. Well, Jen Ellen says, and a real person isn't even looking at the list. And some people don't know this, but Mike Burrier, before he worked at the university here, he worked for a newspaper. And they have a production manager. that like looks at the layout, skims the things, kind of proofs it, makes things. And Michael's telling me it's a real book. It's not, it's a book with a gadget with it.
Yes, it comes with a prize.
Yeah, it's a book that comes with a prize.
Or some, not really.
But those, you know, kind of books were never used to be considered for this kind of stuff. Like the gift type books like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the golf picture books and stuff that you know, your dad loves golf picture book things. Anyway, that made the USA Today list. And Mike said, he goes, did the production manager not look at the list? And there were a couple other weird things on the list today. I didn't go digging through them because
they're on vacation. They're off for the holidays. Just run it.
Well, but it, so, okay, but it brings to question a little bit, anybody that's making that list now, how credible is your sales?
Yeah. I mean, and that, you know, that puts a damper on something that has always been a very big deal for authors.
Right. It's something that's celebrated. It's something that is made a big deal. And so does this list, and Heather asks the question, does this list even mean anything anymore?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because we knew that when it came back, it was no longer going, it was going to be incredibly difficult for indie authors to make USA Today. Like almost impossible. But we've seen a couple that have done it. Lena Hendricks did it. Kristen Proby just did it this week. But you see little stuff like that and you're like, does that put some ick factor on anything that's in that list? Like how legit, the legitimacy of the list.
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes you question the legitimacy, but I don't want to take away from anyone who makes it. You know what I mean? It's, that's hard. That's a hard thing to.
It is, but it just, I don't know. It now feels icky. It just, and it's really, go ahead, Jenny, what are you saying?
It's hard because we don't know the formula behind it. Like, what are they looking at that, like, this guy, the little
wavy guy,
is making it? Yeah. Like, because I would buy that. I mean, if it was like $6 or something, yeah, I'd buy it. But I'm probably not reading the, no one's reading the book with it.
Yeah. Well, and Stacy says it actually makes it more impressive to actually make the list if you're seeing stuff like that. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because does this mean you can, so one of the concerns has been with these lists is people who are writing AI books, using their AI to write their books, and they're making lists like this now. How legitimate is this? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do we weed out the non-books, the ones that aren't written by humans? Because both USA Today and New York Times have said they prioritize human voices in their listing. And now you've got stuff like this sneaking in. It just creates a lot of questions. And again, like you, it makes me question, like, how did they make the list?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you could add number something 23, to your book, you know? Okay, like,
so Mike's doing the research for us, guys, because we've got him interested. 23 is a puzzle game book. And number 24 is a screaming goat.
Oh, I saw somebody talking about the screaming goats, but I didn't see it. Oh,
we have the screaming goat.
Yeah. We those made the USA Today list.
Oh, yeah. It was a stocking stuffer last year, so that makes sense.
I mean, we're coming up on Christmas, so.
Yeah.
But this list is a mess. But I just question
if, like, you could add something to your book, you know, like you get a free hat with this purchase, and now you're at the top of the list.
We're kind of already seeing that happen a little bit with romance. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody, but one of the things a lot of authors are doing are these pre-order campaigns.
Yeah.
And it is, some of the authors are doing it because they want to share the goodies they've had created for their books, right? And this is a way to give it to readers over influencers. And a lot of authors prioritize readers over influencers. Like, why am I going to send an influencer box out and potentially that influencer isn't even going to touch it? But if I put it at a bookstore where I know they're going to buy my book and they get those stickers and stuff, my readers are going to be more excited about it than an influencer potentially. So, but we're already seeing these pre-order campaigns. That's how Helena Hunting, with her current Toronto Terror series, has made it onto the USA Today list. She's had two or three pre-order campaigns with those books. That's how Kristen Proby made it this time. She had two or three pre-order campaigns at certain indie bookstores where you got, if you bought the paperback, you got this special edition stuff. Katherine Cowles, with her last release, when she made USA Today and New York Times,
Yeah.
she had a pre-order campaign, and she had like six separate pre-order campaigns.
Yeah.
So you say, hey, if you buy this book, you get a free hat. We actually are kind of seeing some of that mentality happening so that there's more eyes on stuff and it is making lists.
Oh yeah, I love the incentives, like
Yeah.
oh, I'm a fool for them. I'm
We
not
all
saying
know
they're
that. We all
bad.
do. I bought like 12 copies of Tara DeWitt's last book so I could get all the art that's in a box somewhere that I don't ever look at, but I have it.
So it's just interesting because, again, without a transparent formula, without us knowing how you come to your numbers, we're all sitting here going, side eye, sister, don't think this is as legit as you think it is anymore. But it
Yeah.
also, with this stuff that's made USA Today this week, it's also like they're obviously just throwing numbers into BookScan. Or they're throwing numbers from BookScan into some kind of algorithm and it's shooting out a list.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be, I mean, very hard to do at all.
Michael found a graphic novel, The Action Bible of God's Redemption, that made the USA Today list. And it was 20, it
Okay.
was from 2020, and what did it rank?
2020.
Oh, it was number 81 on the list. It's never ranked. It's from 2020, but it's number 81 on the USA Today list.
Okay. I have a feeling like several Sunday schools are going to be getting that for Christmas.
I'm
But,
like, somebody's
I
gonna
don't
be
know.
disappointed. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, see here, what's say there's been a couple I've seen where you can email a copy of your pre-order and get a signed book plate or book mark and art and then the Olivia Day dust covers. We're not talking about the Olivia Day dust covers. I have an extra around here somewhere. Cause you know I bought it three times.
Oh, the last small town one or the other, the Zom rom-com.
The last one too, because
Oh, okay.
I d it's this it was all on those same three orders where the Zom rom-coms
Oh, you
and
had them all on. Okay.
the
Yeah,
second
because you
chance.
gave me one of the Zom rom-coms and then I bought the other one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the one you have the extra of
Yeah.
then.
I have a problem. I love those dust
Oh.
book covers. I wish more authors. I'm actually trying to talk Erin Nicholas into that this week because she has a man chest cover for her next release that's coming in January.
Oh, yeah.
She has her man chest cover and then she has her cute illustrated cover. And I was like, you should just make a dust cover
Yeah.
of one of the covers so that I can only have to buy one book, but with both covers.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea too for just people who want to, have both options. But yeah, I mean, we all know that I can't. I was supposed to be not buying books and for the rest of the year. And then
Didn't last long.
Susan Stoker put out the tushy covers, and I was missing one, so that
They
had to
got it.
happen. I got it. So.
I don't think I've bought a book in a couple weeks. I don't think I have. I
Bought
think
one
the
Friday. I saw you.
I didn't buy it on Friday. You bought a book
No,
on
I
Friday.
did.
But that shop's cute, isn't it?
It is adorable.
Yeah, it's so cool. I love it. Oh wait, Heather, I need those from Susan. I
I
don't
put it in the group chat today. So she's got to catch up.
She might need to. Okay, AI. It was the topic of conversation in the book world in 2025 for so many different stupid
Yeah.
reasons.
Yep.
First of all, I want to talk about the whole AI witch hunting.
Yeah.
I'm so over it. And especially because these are people that think they know the industry because they read a book one time.
Yeah.
That's like saying, okay, so I used to joke with the nurses at the Cleveland Clinic that I was a GI fellow because I had been in a GI fellowship for 14 years because of my son's liver disease. But it was a joke. Legit. Some of these people, these humans, they read a book one time and now all of a sudden they know everything about the industry. And it's like, you don't. The whole M dashes versus ellipses, you know, if you don't
use both in my text messages, like,
yeah,
things that I type out on a phone. I mean, you know, hello.
And also, do you know, first of all, if there's an M dash in things, I would like you to know they've been in books since pre-AI. And on a Mac, it's really complicated to make an M dash. It is command, the little thing, shift, command, and the dash to get an M dash on a Mac.
And it has to be like, and mine only works because I do this all the time. When I edit or proofread, I put them in there and it has to be on my number keypad. Like it won't work on my other dash. Like it has to be the one on my number keypad.
Yeah. There are a lot. Some authors, I know some editors that just copy and paste them from other parts of the paragraph and put them in down below.
Because sometimes it just doesn't. If I'm using my other keyboard, it doesn't work the same way. But yeah.
Bonnie says M dash is suddenly appearing in my books means I got a new editor.
I do it to her all the time.
Do you?
Yes.
I don't mind an M dash, but the witch hunting.
Yeah.
If you, and we've talked about this in the past, the obnoxiousness of some of the new to romance readers, you know, it's like when someone new enters a fandom, and that is something that I have heard other people say, you know, someone new enters a fandom and that's all they're about and everything they are. And, you know, they think they know everything, but they haven't been there as long and they get the lore wrong. And, but the new to romance readers, just sit down and stay a while and listen to people.
Just Google, for the love of God, just Google a publishing date.
Yes.
And like, honestly, if you are making Katie Robert, Sarah McLean, and, if you're making those two mad on top of like Kennedy Ryan, maybe you done fucked up and you should just sit down. Cause like, I've seen all of them at some point in the last year say, I'm no longer engaging with that person because I don't want my followers to attack them, but they're wrong. So, and then because we don't have enough bullshit happening, Kindle is getting ready to release a feature after the first of the year that puts an AI chat bot in the middle of your book. It'll be a companion for your book. There is no way to opt out. Even as a reader, there is no way for us as readers to opt it out. There's no way for authors to opt out of it. But I saw an author that had it beta showed up on their app.
Oh yeah.
And they were searched. They were like, can you tell me who this character is? AI chatbot got it completely wrong. Like
said, well, they already have like the synopsis too. Like if you, it's, they already rolled that out for everyone. Like if you want to, like, it says, oh, you know, find out what happened in the previous book in this series. And that's all AI generated.
Yeah, so, the like series recap.
But some of those series recaps are wrong.
And I try not, and I want to test it. I looked at one and it was very vague enough that it wasn't wrong. But I was like, I want to keep testing it, but I don't want to keep using it so that they think it's a good function.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I don't know. Right. Are they taking this, like, are they keeping track of how many people open it? I don't know.
One of the influencers, like Kayla Reads a Book or something, Kayla with a Book.
Oh, yeah.
She was suggesting that we all, like, you get feedback at the bottom, like, was this good? Did you like this? That you just start putting in the feedback. I don't like this feature. It doesn't work for me. All of this was wrong. And just inundate them with feedback. Because Amazon KDP is telling authors that this is reader driven.
No.
And not, it's not about the author. It's about the reader experience.
The high school readers that are like, don't want to read the book. Like,
can you imagine, hey, like Great Gatsby, note, like who note. Dies and then they get it all wrong. So,
well, I mean, it's like cliff notes that are not accurate. You know?
Well,
I don't know.
Right.
And Jen Ellen mentions, I'm so far into Kindle world, I can't switch to a new system. Same. And that conversation is happening on Threads. You know, last year it was book talk this, book talk that. This year is all about Threads. Michael's telling me Amazon is investing $100 billion in OpenAI. So this yes. is all part of that.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah. Jen Ellen, many of us are invested in Kindle Unlimited, and there are, I don't think it's authors. I think it's readers saying, authors, you should leave Amazon. Don't put your books. But maybe there were some authors that were saying they were pulling all their books from Amazon platforms.
I saw like one or two, but
not anyone that's like huge.
Yeah.
And no publishers are pulling their books from the Amazon platform. And to be honest, and I think it was Katie or Sarah McLean that said that they created an email and to their publisher with their agent and their publisher to tell them, what are you doing to protect us with this feature? Because we have a no AI clause.
And then Katie went in and said, I'm going to copy this and send it as well.
Yeah.
Like, so I think a lot of authors were using that model.
And I venture to guess the American Literary Agency or American Literary Agents Association, which any certified literary agent is a member of this group. It's like the Authors Guild, but it's the agents group. I venture to guess come the first of the year, there will be discussions on, as agents, how can we help our clients and fight against this from this happening. But I don't think that there were any like big, Amazon didn't go to publishers and say, hey, we're going to do this. They just rolled it out and everyone's kind of like, what? And I think the other thing to remember is publishing has pretty much not been working. I mean, a lot of them are working until Friday, but the majority of them have been out since the 15th. Like, I replied to a couple of book pitches over the last couple days, and every single one almost comes back with, I'm out of the office until January 5th. You know, I will, when I return, I will take care of this. And it's like, okay. But
And I think on the like Amazon thing, like they've already swept your book.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you might have a copyright, you might have whatnot. Like, they're not going to be ethical about it. Like,
because there is no ethical consumption.
The way the laws are going, like, yeah.
The thing is, is I don't.
It's already been done.
Authors who are like, I'm just going to go to Kobo, I'm pulling out a KU. That's great if you can afford to do that.
Yeah.
As a reader, which we are a romance readers podcast, but, you know, some of us work in publishing. As a reader, I cannot afford to go to Kobo. I have previously tried out, like, their audio-only Kobo, like, their subscription service for Kobo for audio. But even that catalog is kind of sad. It's what?
Kobo Plus.
Yeah, for their audio, I've tried it. I think their catalog is kind of lacking because so many authors, like Podium, even Podium audiobooks, are a lot of them are Audible exclusives and stuff. But the biggest thing is I need a paper white, paper ink device. I cannot read on a blue lit screen. And I don't have a spare $170. And honestly, the reviews for the Kobo devices, we think our Kindles are janky, you guys. You should go in and read some of the reviews on the Kobo devices.
Yeah, I've seen, I'm someone that I'm friends with on Instagram and Threads and whatever. She actually is moving to the Palma, which is also an e-ink reader. But it's also, but it's more the size of a phone.
Yeah.
And I like,
Well,
I don't want to read them. I mean, it's a big, I mean, it's a larger, but it's that same more like a rectangular than
yeah.
like the size of the Kindle. And I'm just like, I'm so
Like
used to reading on my Kindle.
in Asian countries, they have a lot more options than we do here
Yeah.
Yeah.
of both color e-ink and black and white. So, and you were talking about like Podium, like having Audible exclusives. They did make a deal with Hoopla, but everybody's losing
But
their
everybody's
Hoopla.
losing Hoopla.
Oh.
And Blackstone Audio, they go to nine, they do 90 days as Audible exclusive, and then they move out wide. Recorded Books, I think, is the only one that really starts wide, or if it's, but even publishers will get Penguin Random House stuff that's exclusive on Audible that just depends on the deal that was struck for that specific book. So, yeah, the AI stuff, it sucks. But honestly, everything sucks, and it's getting really daunting to open any publishing anything, be it Publishers Weekly, be it Threads, be it Facebook, and somebody is screaming about it. It just feels like wasted energy.
Yeah, because it's not going anywhere. Like, we're not going to win that battle.
No, and I barely have the energy to do what I need to do just because the
Thanks.
world,
Yep.
as I gesture wildly at all the things happening. Like,
Right.
can I save my energy for the fights that I can win? This is not a fight I can win.
Maybe there's
No.
a like, this one works.
Oh, the rockets. We're gonna blow stuff up. We're fire. Like, is there a dumpster fire? Jenny found reactions on our
Man.
Zoom meeting, so now she's like the devil face.
I was trying
Nice.
a wall.
Another thing that so Karen is sharing that the entertainment industry is getting rocked by it, and it gets even worse going forward. I'm sure. I'm sure. I also find it interesting. So, because Karen's on here, I'm going to say this because she'll appreciate this. Somebody was talking about the lack of new and original ideas on TV, that most of all the new stuff coming to TV, coming to movies, are previously owned IPs, which we've talked about because all these books that are constantly getting bought up, how are they going to make all this stuff? It's because these industry people don't necessarily want to pay a huge room of writers. So if the IP already exists, you can get away with half the amount of writers, and then you can make the show. And some of these shows are cheap to make. So, and a lot of it has to do with, some of those clauses, that the Writers Guild put into their contracts and stuff, because they were like, you can't use AI. Well, they can just get rid of it if they don't need the writers to write the material, if it's already existing IP. So yeah, the content coming up in TV, I think I read it's something like 65% of all the new shows and movies coming in 2026 are previously written or owned IPs. Meaning, like, this is either a movie that's being a remake, or they bought a book, or they bought a comic, or they bought something, that it's no new and original ideas.
Yeah,
So,
I mean,
anyway, I
not
don't know why people
shocking.
are screwing with my TV. I mean, I don't know. I can't talk about that right now. Anyway, I'm s Survivor. I don't know if I'm gonna get the finale tonight or not.
Why? Oh,
Because
because
the giant orange
yeah.
tangerine had to have TV time.
Oh,
Now you could
oh.
do the devil,
Sorry.
Jenny.
Now you can do the I forgot
Anyway,
about
Amanda, that's why everybody's here. That's why we have all these
that.
watchers, because
Right?
they can't watch the
Is that
Survivor finale.
why? Ooh, look, there's a purple one.
Oh, there we go. There we
He
go.
shakes.
There we go. Oh, he's big mad.
Okay, I think one of the topics we have to talk about tonight, is the erasure. I don't know, word.
Erasure.
The erasure, of PNR and it being pushed into romanticy. What are your thoughts on this, Amanda? Is that a grievance of 2025?
Yes, it is a grievance of 2025 for me. And I've sat down to write something about this several times, but without like regurgitating things that other people have said or just screaming into the void, I've taken it back. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to write something about PNR authors that I love and how that, absolutely, you know, this is not going away. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to stop calling things paranormal, and you are just doing a disservice to readers and authors by telling people it's something that it's not. And I don't just mean like readers who have been reading a long time. Like, I mean, new readers too, new readers who have a standard for romanticy in their brain, and what you were giving them is not romanticy. And so you're making everybody mad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not the same.
I think you're right. I think the way for us to embrace this is to talk about the PNR.
Yeah.
That is good. The yeah. PNR.
And I think that's what I'm going to do.
That
I'm
is well written.
In the next like week or so. Cause I've actually like, we've been talking about it, and I said I was going to write something, and every time I did, it just came out this either raging mad or, you know, just.
But talk about why you love the genre, yeah, and what are the stories that come out of that. And I think that that's more important than some ranty piece about why are people so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So.
We're not going to get that answer.
Right? Okay. One of the things that I hope we leave behind in 2025. I'm really tired of all of the advertisement for every book that's coming out. Quote, the next quote. Like when we got Shield of Sparrows from Devney Perry. The next Fourth Wing. The next Emily Henry. Amanda said that with just her full chest. Man.
You know, and so that was another one. There was a book that came out recently, and I won't name the book because it wasn't my favorite, but it was like something mixed with Twilight. There's no shade of Twilight anywhere in that book at all. And it is on everything. It is everywhere. And I'm blanking on the other comp that they use, but it was this mixed with this. And there's not even a love triangle. Like it's not, there's no vampires. Oh. There's no shifters. Oh,
I know what book it is.
Yes. But... yeah. And it's like nothing to do with Twilight in any way, shape or form. Like.
So. Jen Ellen says it has to have been really bad.
I think it was
bad.
Only because the author like mentioned that, she enjoyed Twilight, and that's what got her into writing.
Yeah. Amanda, Jen Ellen says it has to have been really bad because Amanda usually finds something positive about every book she reads.
And it wasn't like there was a shade of like a storyline in it that was fine. And I might read the next book just because the core line is mythology. So I love like anything to do with mythology, but right. It was like, they just kept saying Twilight. And I'm like, there's nothing Twilight about this book other than it's set in like the Pacific Northwest. That's it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Sorry. That was just like,
that's okay. No, that's the stuff
there, but
that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
But you know, make it accurate if you're going to compare it to something.
That's right. That's right. The other thing is, and then we're going to go to our Festivus Miracles, but I want to talk about one last thing before we go to Festivus Miracles. Demands on authors and what they write.
Yeah.
Like, I think that this was the year that, was it Rena Kent? No, it wasn't Rena Kent. It was somebody else. They published a book after a long hiatus, not on the book, or not publishing because, like, their mother had died and... Anyway, she wrote it as male, and people were not happy about it.
That was Rena Kent.
Was that Rena Kent's book? And it's like, you can be a fandom, but if an author does something to a character you don't like, go write fanfic. Go read the fanfic. Do not go into an author's...
There's plenty of it.
Don't go into their comments and be like, I really wish you had made it this character and they were this character together. What? No, ma'am. We do not act like that.
No, I have conversations like that all the time with Karen about certain authors, and we talk about it privately. Like, I would never say that to somebody. Right.
Group
like,
chat. Get a group
it's
chat.
Theirs.
Like, I just don't. So, you know, I deal with a lot of authors.
It goes back to the whole, like, authors don't owe you anything. They like, owe you us nothing. Buy a service from them. Like, it is not, they don't owe you a certain. Yep.
Well, and there was an author today talking on Threads about, no, I don't think it was an author. I think it was an influencer. And they were saying, here are the reasons why you should not think that you are best friends with an author. Like, don't be DMing them. Don't be making best friends with them. And I actually struggle with this a little bit because, so I'll hear every once in a while from a client that I did like a beta read, and I don't message an author as I'm reading and be like, that's a client. Like, they're paying me for my feedback.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't message them and go like, oh my God, this line is amazing, or I really love this scene. I put it in my final evaluation of the whole manuscript so that it sounds professional and not like, you know, Stanley wrote it. Like, do you know what I mean? And even when I'm editing, I don't leave comments like, oh my God, this is going to be such a great scene. This, you know, I'll give a full evaluation at the end of the edits, but it's kind of that hyper focus of my brain. When I'm in edit mode, I'm in edit mode, and stopping to message someone about their stuff, it just doesn't compute for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it in the document and I might say like, oh, I love this scene, but generally it's also for, you could use this for marketing.
Yeah.
Situation is kind of like where I'm going with it. Or if they ask me specifically, be like, you know, what did you think of this scene? Like, could you put this, but yeah, in the document, not like I'm not sending like a private message.
No.
You know,
I don't know, but some authors really like, they live off that. They really like it. It fills their bucket.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Because I just feel like it's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy as a reader either.
To message, like,
they're going to disappoint. Yeah, they're going to disappoint you at some point. They're human. And then, like, you have made this into, like, that parasocial relationship. Yeah. You have made this into something that it's really not in reality. Like, yeah,
but then I make authors mad, like Krista Sandor, because I don't read dedications and author letters.
Well, I mean, she did write a whole paragraph to you, like,
more than once. They're gonna start calling me names. She and Aaron Nicholas have decided in their dedications and in their author notes, if they're gonna mention me, they're gonna start calling me names and see how long it takes me to realize that they've named me things. So they're like, we're going to call
this
you.
This is why I read every page.
I do too. Yeah.
Okay. Festivus Miracle. I think a festive miracle this year is KU books can finally be in libraries.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
That was a Festivus Miracle. Whoever thought that would happen?
Right. And it just kind of popped out of like, I mean, yeah, just, I didn't see it coming. Go.
Was there a book this year? Oh, I guess we could talk about this on Sunday, but was there a book this year that reminded you why you loved romance? If it's your top read of the year, don't mention it. Cause you know, we'll talk about that on Sunday. Is there another book?
I think I said this too, when it was my book of the week, but The Shop on Hidden Lane by Jane Ann Krantz. And then we got to talk to her, which was also just like a bucket list for me, but I hadn't read her books in a while. And it was just like a
warm hug.
Yeah, and I think I put it in my review. I was like, this reminded me like why I loved her and why I've read so many of her books across like multiple pen names. And, you know, it was very nostalgic for me. It was like very like this takes me back to like when I first started reading. And it was a big like internal moment for me.
You had some big moments this year.
Yeah, I did.
You got some big interviews under your belt with some authors that you were like.
Yeah, I mean, that one was probably like just because of how long I've been reading her.
Yeah.
And then, and then we did LJ Andrews too, which was another really big one for me. But I was like, I'm newer to her books, but I'm a, very big fan. But yeah, I mean, Leah lets me tag along when it's somebody that I really like, because
Yeah.
let's be honest, I'm not the one leading any of those interviews. But
Well,
yeah.
and Jenny had a big moment this year too. You finally, in person, got to meet Penny Reed.
Yeah.
Yes, I. Oh, Becky got a witness. Like I went through like all the stages of like I don't even know. Like I
Her,
cried, I laughed. Like
she showed her tattoo, like she's taking her clothes off. It was a good time. She's like, look,
it
look. Yeah.
was.
Slow down, sister.
And I got to meet her twice.
You did get to meet her twice, so super exciting year for you that way.
Yes.
It, I
Yeah, that
mean,
was like she was my bucket list. Like I think I even told you like after that. I was like, I'm good now. Like
she told me we don't have to do
I
any
don't
more
need to go to any more of
signings.
these.
We don't have to do anything else. We're done. Scene. But overall, it was a really good year that way. Like,
Yeah.
community-wise, for me as an individual, it was a really good year community-wise. Like, our Patreon, I just love our community. Like, that has been one of the, to be honest, they keep me going. Like, not just because of the work stuff, but like, oh,
Yeah.
it's Wednesday night. Gotta get off the couch. Let's go do this. But it is our Patreon members. It's our community. It is our friends. It's the people that tune in every week, and then like last week, Jen Ellen was missing and we missed her because we reviewed a book or we reviewed a movie that was on Netflix because that's all there was to that last week.
Yeah,
It
I
was a
did not
movie on
watch that movie.
Netflix.
I think I'm good though.
It was just a movie. It's fine. But I love our community. So, I mean, it's kind of the best. What else? Readers, do you have any Festivus miracles for the year that you want to talk about? Do you have any other Festivus miracles? Let's see. Oh, I think this is one, and we will talk about it when we come back after the first of the year, after the season is complete. But it is nice to see heated rivalry and MM romance get a moment to shine.
So like so deeply invested, obsessed, like it is
Which is great. I
probably
mean,
unhealthy. Yeah.
the thing is it's really interesting because I see the criticism that's happening towards Heated Rivalry. And so I'm looking at this as I have not watched one episode yet. I will
Okay.
watch it. I'm
Okay.
waiting for the whole season to come out because I've read the books. I've read
Okay.
all the
I was gonna
books.
ask because there are people that have watched it and haven't read the books, and I'm just like, whoo, buddy. But anyways.
I've read all the books. Because that was, Karina Adore's early days. So, like, I have read all those books. But it's really interesting to me on a observer of the book world, as a person within publishing that provides commentary on the book world. What I find interesting is we did not see this kind of upheaval, uproar, discussion about like what's the River series that's on Netflix that's based off a book
Oh.
or the Josh Duhamel series that's based off a book on Netflix. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
Or
yeah.
even like there's that Little Disasters out that's out right now that's based off a book or is it Big Little Lies? Is that the book, the one
That
that
was the original one. Yeah. And I think the Little Disasters maybe comes off of that, right? Isn't
No,
that
it's two
the.
different authors. It's two different
Oh, then
authors.
never mind.
But like Virgin River and then
Yeah.
Yes, that's yep.
That's it. Yeah.
Strange People, Apples Don't Fall. Like there are tons of content out there that is based on literary IP, but there are not these huge waves of discussion about who should get to write those books. I'm sorry. I don't believe that the author, I think it's. I mean, Jodie Foster wrote like all those books. She's not a child that survived cancer. You know what I mean? Like Sister's Keeper
Right.
or something like that. Like, so there's so much discussion happening about Heated Rivalry. One, because it's popular, and one, because it's queer, that we never see happen about other IP turned into TV. We did not even see these kinds of discussion right. with Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin. Like, there was not this kind of, like, disenchantment and fighting and people saying, you know, like, that off... George R. R. Martin has never wrangled a dragon. I can guarantee you this. He has no right to write, to write a dragon. You know, yeah. it's like those kind of stupidities. But I have... You know, I actually asked, it's an older episode that is out there. I had an interview with Max Walker and Roan Parrish. Mm-hmm. And I asked them about Own Voices because both of them are queer, living in the queer community. And I asked them about Own Voices. I was like, do you think that it's wrong that there are people that they assume are straight women writing queer romances or people? And both of them said to me, it is not our job as readers to out an author. It's yeah. not our job. If they write a story they feel inspired and it creates love and passion towards something, then that's all that matters. Did it make you feel something? Was it a good story? Did you enjoy it? Yes. Yeah. Does it bring love and light to situations? Then it's worth it. And for them, who are people that have had a lot of rejection in publishing or, you know, have Roan has trad pubbed some books, but other books she gets rejected on. You know, so these are people that are queer, trying to find space within publishing. And I have not seen one of them out there trying to eradicate.
Yeah, I think I told Heather this the other day. Like, I have, like, because we are definitely like you're deep in the hole. like I have seen a lot of positive feedback from the queer community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like the people that are most outraged are not the people that are being offended in quotation marks. Like yeah.
the one
is often other people outside being like, you can't do that. Well, who are you to say what they can and cannot do? Like,
see, and my biggest one,
it's interesting.
My biggest one that I have seen is an out gay man who works in publishing. He's in publishing. He has written a book and he is very angry about it. But there is a phenomenon within the queer community that a lot of gay white men have what they call the where they don't consider bi people to truly be gay.
Bi erasure.
So the one that is being the loudest about thing. Why did a woman's book get picked up and not a male written, because because
she wrote a good book. Like, that's all it really was. Like, he listened to it during COVID. He liked the book.
Yeah. Well, and the amount of people that you, like, I had so many text messages. I'm so sick and tired of seeing women get, you know, the publishing deals for MM romances. She's bi. Her husband's bi. They said it in the book. And then they've done interviews previous when the books were coming out about their queer status. But also, it's not our job to out them. Leave it the freak alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's also been like discourse around the actors, and Jacob Tremblay has done a great job at like telling people you need to shut them.
Yeah,
up it's not because your
like it's not like it's art, mm-hmm. and that's yeah.
But again, the miracle for me is like I saw Darcy, you know who I'm talking about, Darcy and Jer on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. They're a gay married couple. He's a comedian. He watched the first book and he watched the first movie and he's like, my mother reads romance. I can no longer look her in the face. And I'm like, he's like, cause you people are reading naughtiness. Well, then he went and got the book and he was like, and he was blushing and it was so funny. And I was like, perfect. Perfect. So
yeah, I started listening to a hockey podcast because they are watching it,
mm-hmm.
and they are all straight men like watching this, and yeah, it is. It's a hoot.
Well, and there's a
That's
lot of
funny.
people say, like, how realistic is this movie that closeted gay characters are, gonna find each other in a hockey? And I'm like, yeah, they're all closeted. If there are gay men on professional
Right.
sports teams, 99.9% of them are closeted. That's completely real life, dude.
Yeah, like any
Any
high
professional sport. Yeah.
profile professional sport.
Yep.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean,
Yep.
and not for nothing, but like, how often do most of the romance like books that we read, how often does that generally play out in real life? It doesn't.
Right,
Not
right.
really. I mean, we read it for the HEA. We're reading it for
Right.
this beautiful
Yes.
love story that you're probably not going to ever see in real life. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're not writing an autobiography here.
Okay, so before we go, we're going to talk about, in the spirit of Festivus, what is one thing we're going to let go and one thing we want to hold on to. So, I'll go first since you both are like, I'm not prepared for this question.
Yes.
So,
Even though I did read it this time,
I
but
did. I did.
one of
Yeah.
the things that, in the spirit of Book Festivus, that I am going to let go is my reading goal. I have never not set a reading goal. I usually just make it 50, but I'm done. Work is too busy. When I read, I just want to read. I earlier this year let go of my Kindle streak because there were days I didn't pick up my Kindle because I was reading for work and I just my eyes were tired. I just couldn't do it. So I am completely letting go of the reading goal. There will not be a reading goal for me in 2026. And the one thing I'm going to hold on to is this community. I'm not letting you go. We're not quitting in 2026, you guys. Just saying,
Okay.
that's what I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold you to
I'm glad this is recorded.
When I'm like 3 months from now, I'm like, we're freaking
We're
done.
canceling the whole summer.
Jenny, what's one thing you are letting go and one thing you are holding on to?
I think I'm just gonna let go, like being angry with people that like call out authors for bad behavior. Like I don't care anymore. Like just read what you want. I don't have time for this. Like there are bigger fires.
Yeah.
And
What's something you're gonna hold on to outside your job?
yeah, I would hope to hold on to my job, but I mean I work for the government, so you never know. Just finding joy in reading. Like, it's okay to read and reread what you want.
Yes. I used to feel guilty about rereading because I wasn't finding then new books or new content. But if new books and new content aren't bringing you joy, reread what you love. Like, I have a yearning to reread Stephanie Laurens' historicals. I don't know why, just do. What about you, Amanda? What's something you're going to let go of and something you want to hold on to?
I don't know what I'm gonna let go of.
Not book buying. Don't lie to us.
No, I mean I wouldn't even attempt to say that. I don't know. What am I gonna let go of? Okay. So I think I'm gonna let go of my just irritation with things being popular and not reading it because it's popular.
Don't lie.
I'm gonna try really hard to not let that like put me off of a book because, I'm probably missing some good stuff, but
Probably. What's something you're gonna hold on to?
I'm gonna hold on to backlists. I did not binge nearly enough this year. I'm gonna do that more, especially, things written like before 2020. I'm finding comfort in that. I'm just gonna continue to make time for it, so.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me for tonight's Book Festivus.
Good time.
If you are part of our Patreon, we are holding our Patreon Book Festivus Saturday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you check your email for the link. It'll also be posted over on Patreon. We'll
Gotta
be.
have a poll.
You better find a poll. Can
Yeah, I'll find a poll.
Jeremy install one in the bedroom right there?
No.
Oh.
No, you do not. No, I need my house to be standing, please.
Okay. We'll be back Sunday night with our last episode of 2025. We'll be right here on the YouTube. Find out our top reads of 2025. I was like, three each of us. And I'm like, damn, I have to find three books I liked this year.
Oh, I have a lot.
It was not a great reading year, but it's
Use a
okay.
trilogy.
Maybe something that's a trilogy. I don't know. But we'll be figuring that out in time for you Sunday night, 9 p.m., right here on the YouTube. Thank you for joining me, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.